This is Day to Day. About 10,000 mourners gathered yesterday at a suburban Atlanta megachurch for the funeral of Coretta Scott King. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Chadwick. Civil rights leaders, preachers, and musicians all took the stage to pay tribute. And then there were politicians, lots of them. President Bush was there.
In all her years, Coretta Scott King showed that a person of conviction and strength could also be a beautiful soul. This kind and gentle woman became one of the most admired Americans of our time. She is rightly mourned, and she is deeply missed.
And the president's father was there as well, also in attendance, former Presidents Carter and Clinton.
And some of the political talk got pretty heated, targeted directly at President Bush. Joining us from Washington is NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams. And Juan, let's first listen to the Reverend Joseph Lowery, a longtime civil rights leader. With President Bush seated just behind him, Lowery had this to say at the service.
We know now there were no weapons of mass destruction over there. But Coretta knew, and we know, that there are weapons of misdirection right down here. Millions without health insurance. Poverty abounds. For war, billions more, but no more for the poor.
Juan, that must have been a pretty uncomfortable moment for the president.
I think so. But you know, Madeline, nonetheless, given the tradition that he was in, he came into there to a black church celebrating the legacy of the civil rights era as represented, as personified by Mrs. King and, of course, Dr. King. I think he could excuse Reverend Joseph Lowery, who was Dr. King's top lieutenant for much of his life, for speaking in not only rhythm and verse at times, but excuse him for really speaking from the heart in the tradition of the civil rights movement about the poor, the disenfranchised, making it clear that war is not in keeping with a nonviolent social strategy for change. So I thought that was something that the president might even have enjoyed, to be quite honest.
Enjoyed, really?
Well, I think that it's much in the spirit of the movement and of the church, and I think he could accept it as such.
Let me ask you about another comment, Juan, this from former President Carter. Here he is speaking to the congregation, but also perhaps to President Bush.
The efforts of Martin and Coretta have changed America. They were not appreciated even at the highest level of government. It was difficult for them, personally, with the civil liberties of both husband and wife violated as they became the targets of secret government wiretapping, other surveillance.
Maybe a rebuke to President Bush's warrantless eavesdropping program, and President Carter also chided the government's response to Hurricane Katrina. Maybe a more uncomfortable moment for Mr. Bush.
Now, this, I think, was the uncomfortable moment, Alex, because I think here you have, as compared to the notion either out of the Quaker tradition or the black tradition of speaking truth to power, which I think is why I said to Madeline, I think that Joe Lowery could be excused. Here was Jimmy Carter, former president of the United States, who has every platform available to him and who has been a constant critic of the administration, using a funeral to launch a political attack. And I think that this was where some people felt it got over the line and became purely political as opposed to honoring Mrs. King and her life. Later, President Clinton made the point there's a woman in that casket, a real human being.
Didn't Mrs. King make a point of attending both the Republican and Democratic presidential conventions every 4 years? I mean, she was at least attempting to appear to be nonpartisan.
She did. And I must tell you that, again, politics comes into all of this. She did so at great risk to her standing with the civil rights establishment in this country. People who felt that she was lending legitimacy to Republican candidates, especially the first President Bush, and that she shouldn't have been playing bipartisan politics, that she should have been, as are most African Americans, in the Democratic camp. Mrs. King, however, felt that really she wanted to rise above politics, that she wanted support for the King Center, which of course is her prime endeavor, her prime legacy at this point. But she wanted very much to appear that she was above that kind of political fray. It didn't play well with people. I mean, Mrs. King is someone who didn't endorse Jesse Jackson, upset Jesse Jackson and many people, again, in the African-American political community. She had her own drummer. She's someone who didn't go along with Joe Lowery. When he wanted her to join in the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the group created by Dr. King, after Dr. King had died, Mrs. King moved away and said she was raising money and going to create her own center and wanted to be acknowledged as a woman standing on her own. So her independence extended into the political realm.
Well, I wonder, you're watching this event yesterday. I wonder if it occurred to you, how would Mrs. King feel about this, the kind of political nature of this funeral?
Well, I think that, again, she wouldn't have liked that. What she wanted was to be treated as royalty. People oftentimes said she could be standoffish, a little bit arrogant, condescending. But I think what it really was that Mrs. King, having suffered the trauma of her husband's assassination, raising the four kids, all the rest, really wanted to be treated as someone with great dignity. She wanted to be the queen in the African-American community. And I think that what we saw yesterday in part was that. But when it got beyond that to the political stuff, I think she would have been very upset. She just wanted to be honored in that moment. And so for her, I think the politics would have been the wrong note, Alex.
But to be fair, Juan, the president also made a political calculation. He decided at the last minute to attend this funeral. And one can assume that he did so in part because it made good political sense to do so.
Absolutely, Madeline. And of course, this is part of the president's effort, a belated effort to reach out to the African-American community, a community that gave him 9% of the vote in 2000, 11% in 2004. So he doesn't have much of a base in the African-American community. And he stays for a good half of the service, 3 hours. That's quite a commitment of time from the president. But I think what you also have to understand here is that from the president's perspective, that he wants to embrace the King legacy. He wants to be seen as someone who understands why the civil rights movement is a key part of American history. I think he's got some repair to do, especially after Katrina. So on all those fronts, here was an effort by the president to make a political statement. It's why you not only had President Bush there, you had his father there, you had President Clinton, you had President Carter. I think it was a statement by the Democratic Party as well as by the political establishment of the country that African Americans are part of the political structure and are going to be embraced.
NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams. Thank you, Juan.
You're welcome, Madeline. Thank you, Alex.